this segment, we have the privilege of having Pastor Marcus Servin joining us, as well as Cody Winton. You know both of these men, and one of the things that I appreciate about you, Pastor Servin, is your heart for discipleship. It's displayed by his commitment to shepherding the flock in his church. And it's also displayed by his interest in mentoring young men. So I think the best place to start is, why is mentoring something that you think is even important?
Yeah, well, I've been thinking about this idea of passing on my faith, not only in my home, but also in terms of raising up church leaders. And so I look back to some of the early models in the Christian world. Our Lord, who very carefully selected 12 men to be trained and to walk with him and to experience what it was like to be preaching and teaching. He equipped them. He gave them a message so that when he departed at his death, resurrection, and ascension, then he had a group of men who were thoroughly trained to be like their teacher. And that was the goal of our Lord, was a disciple is fully trained when he is like his teacher. So Luke 6, verse 40. And so the apostles took the same vision themselves. And we see the apostle Paul clearly doing that, taking on first Barnabas, and then later taking on Timothy, and then also later working things with John Mark and so on. So you see the apostles very much committed to this way of living that's always thinking about who is the next generation going to be. So for me, I started thinking, who's going to be the person who's going to step into the pastoral role when I'm ready to pass it off to somebody else? And I'm not saying that Cody's ready to do that yet. I'm just saying that.
Cody. Just a couple days away.
but my goal was to begin training up young men for pastoral ministry. Mm-hmm. So let's say I do this for 10 years, two or three young men every year for 10 years in a row. And only half of them actually go into being elders or being pastors in various churches. To me, that would be a huge contribution, anywhere from 10 to 15 young men then who are serving the Church of Jesus Christ. And in our particular movement, those churches that are distinctly Reformed and those churches that are distinctly committed to family discipleship. Mm-hmm. Now, you're not getting that kind of training in a seminary setting.
I was going to ask you about that.
So where do you get it?
Yeah.
You get it in a local church setting. So my idea was to work with young men who feel a call to ministry somewhere in their 18 to 23-year-old age. That would be a typical college time frame. And to work with young men at that point, before they go to seminary, before they get any formal theological training, and to orient their theological compass, that's the first thing, and then secondly, to give them hands-on experience in ministry. And so under my supervision and the supervision of our church leaders, then Cody and also Joel Stanton, these two young men have been working with me the last 8 months, then they've had the opportunity to do a whole range of different things and to get some clarity as to whether God is calling them to the ministry.
Okay.
So that's what we've done.
Good. You made a comment. You said you're not going to get that from seminary. What exactly were you referring to?
Well, in most of the Reformed seminaries, and I've been to a bunch of them, and they all are good in their own way at what they do. But for the most part, they're focused all on academics and on very little practical ministry. And sadly, in many of the pastoral ministry classes that are offered in seminary, you're really getting a sort of baptized version of Christian psychology or psychology just straight from the pagans, rather than getting the biblical models of pastoral ministry and rather than getting the historic models. And there's a whole plethora of historic models, one starting with Jesus and the apostles, but let's take something a little more contemporary. Let's think of John Calvin starting the academy in Geneva and how the express purpose of the academy was to raise up men to serve the Church of Jesus Christ as leaders, both as pastors and missionaries. That was his focus when it first started. Or somebody like William Tennant, who had a number of sons. They all wanted to be ministers like their daddy. Where could he send them? Well, he could send them to Harvard or Yale, but even at that time in the early 1700s, they were being influenced by Unitarian thinking, so he didn't want to send them there. He could send them to Scotland, to Glasgow or Edinburgh, and but that would be far away from home. So he gets permission from his presbytery, Presbytery of Philadelphia, in roughly the mid-1720s, to build a log cabin out behind his house. And he begins training his four sons in pastoral ministry. He teaches them Greek, he teaches them
Hebrew.
That's
a novel idea, isn't it?
Isn't it a great idea? And he teaches them theology, biblical studies, pastoral ministry, all these things. And it's really from those young men, the about 20 young men, because the word started getting around and people started showing up at his door wanting to get training. It's from those men who are in the Reformed Presbyterian world, and they're the key leaders in the First Great Awakening. Hmm. So I would simply say we have all these historic models that show us the validity and the benefits of a mentoring way of teaching people.
Not to mention that that was Jesus's practice.
Yes, rather than a classroom setting, Jesus had his disciples with him. Hmm. You know, that's the key operative word. They spent time together. They went on preaching missions together. He sent them out after they had a little bit of training to try out what they had learned, and then to report back to him once they had done it as to how it all went. So you see our Lord being very purposeful in giving a situation of imitation, and that's what mentoring is. You're imitating a person who's older, more experienced, so that you can clarify your gifts and so that you can actually figure out what do I actually say. Now, Cody's had opportunities to come with me on hospital visits. He's come with me on new member visits when I've been preparing people for membership in the church. He's been in a few different counseling situations where it's been, you know, the problems that are getting worked out. And then he's been fully involved in the work of our church in all sorts of different ways.
So how important are these concepts of imitation, life application, and actual experience in your success in being a good shepherd?
Huge. I mean, you're asking me this. I'm thinking, I'm sort of bursting thing. This is really big. Yeah, it's the whole idea of shepherds not only thinking about the immediate needs of their flock, but also thinking about reproducing themselves. And so when we look at many different passages in the New Testament, I mean, take a passage like this from 2 Timothy, for example, where Paul says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me," from Paul.
Not the local seminary professor.
"From me, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So you see multiple generations there in terms of Paul to Timothy, Timothy to faithful men to teaching others also. That's four generations. If you include our Lord in that, that's five generations. And so we see that the very core of Christianity in its purest form is that we're not only evangelistic, but we're also committed to discipleship, to passing on the things that we have learned and the things we've experienced. That's at the very core of Christianity.
Great feedback. Okay, so let's talk about how this all got started. Crazy idea of actually mentoring some other young men.
Right.
What got the process going? Did Cody contact you? Did you contact Cody? How did it get started?
Well, first of all, I've been wanting to do this for a number of years, and I couldn't. I had some other projects that I was working on, and having finished some of those projects, I was able then to move forward on a pastoral internship. And our focus is narrow. I'm not looking to train young men in business. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking to necessarily just train them to be effective fathers, both of which are important. Mm-hmm. But my goal is to raise up Reformed and Presbyterian pastors. That's a narrow goal that I have. And I'm willing to broaden that somewhat. But generally speaking, I'm looking to raise up pastors.
Okay.
And so I started talking about it.
Okay.
You know, that's a simple way to say how it got started. I wrote out some basic plan. As different people heard about it and inquired, then I would send that to them. And word started getting around that, wow, Pastor Servin's going to do this. And so
because it's not very common.
No. Yeah, and there were people who were wanting, they felt called to pastoral ministry, but they didn't know where to go other than to seminary.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what has the relationship looked like? What do you do? I mean, we talk about mentoring and people right. are wondering, I mean, we've heard this word, what is actually going on here?
Yeah, well, let me just say this. In terms of the way we've organized it, we've set it up as a part-time pastoral ministry okay. internship. Mm-hmm. So I own Cody, so to speak, for 24 hours a week, and also his compatriot, Joel Stanton.
Okay.
And during those 24 hours a week, they are either in classroom setting, which we have at my home, where we're going through different books on theology, different books on pastoral ministry, studying and discussing those. Others have joined us for some of those public sessions. Then we have a private session where we just talk about ministry assignments, and we pray together. We always eat together. Cody always likes that a couple times a day. And I do too, frankly. And then another component, besides the time in the classroom, another component is study, for them to read and reflect and study on things that we've introduced them to. And then the last component would be actual ministry. So Cody has helped us in the area of developing our church website. Cody has helped us by leading a small group Bible study for some of the young men of our church whose parents wanted them to be a part of that. Cody has accompanied me on pastoral visits, hospital settings, home settings. Cody has done some teaching to our men. He's also led a catechetical study in our church worship. He's read scripture. He's been involved in prayer meetings. He's been involved in a whole range of different aspects of Christian ministry that a young man would need to know before they could have any sense of clarity as God is calling me in this way. Yeah, so that's what we've done.
So it sounds like you're not just lecturing them in your office. You're actually doing life together.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're fully engaged in pastoral ministry. And again, this is our first year. I told both Cody and Joel that in some regards, this was going to be experimental. They were going to be guinea pigs. We were going to try out a bunch of things on them. Okay. And they've been very willing to have that happen, which has been great.
Okay. So, Cody, we're approximately the same age. Not a lot of young guys are thinking about mentoring. In fact, I know that you probably have some youthful interests. Why did you think that a mentorship is something that would be valuable for you?
Well, I would have to say that the first reason would be because prior to this mentorship with Pastor Servin, I was being mentored by my father for many, many years. We did. We had a landscape company. My dad was doing other work prior to that, but my dad wanted something that he could do where he could include both my brother Jesse and myself in his work so that he could be with us all the time while we're working. He taught us a hard work ethic, and then while we're driving between jobs, we're talking theology, we're talking politics, we're talking family discipleship, we're talking so many different things. I'm learning so much from my dad. So I would say the foundation of my wanting to come out to this was being mentored by my dad. This isn't the first mentorship I've been on. I've been on a, if you will, 19-year mentorship with my father, and now I've started this mentorship with Pastor Servin. So I would say that that's the foundation of why. The second reason is because both my parents and other mutual friends of our family encouraged me to consider the ministry. So there was that outward call there, and it was also something that I had an interest in.
So I wanted, this is a little bit like job shadowing.
Right, right, yes. Yeah. I was given the opportunity to be with a pastor at a local church where I could be observing him just fulfilling day-to-day work of a pastoral shepherd.
Yeah, and really it was your father who expressed the first interest at all. I think I was just talking to him and telling him, Randy, this is what we're going to be doing. Do you know of anybody who might be interested?
Yes.
And he came back and said, why, yes, I do know somebody who may be interested. And that led to more discussion and sending you information and filling out an application and evaluating that, praying over that. So we went through a whole process, and our goal is to end up with two or three young men each year.
Okay. I want to come back to you, Cody. After 7 to 9 months in this process, how important was the honor you showed to your father during the first 19 years of your life in making this opportunity with Mr. Servin a real success.
Well, I should first clarify that by saying that not only is nobody perfect, but I am certainly not a fantastic example of honoring my father. I've done my best, but I've failed so many different ways. Mm-hmm. That being said, my dad has always been slow to anger and quick to forgive me in that mm-hmm. area, and I think it's been huge. My father not only expecting that honor, but training me in how to honor mm-hmm. my father. And so that transitioning from honoring my father as my mentor to honoring Pastor Servin as a mentor, I think it was not only important, it was foundational.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you could have made the jump? Say you had gone for 19 years and not really showed a lot of honor to your father, his instruction, his input into your life. Can you just jump into a mentorship and be like, wow, no, I didn't learn anything from my dad, but I'm sure going to learn a lot from this guy?
I think you could fake it for about 2 weeks, a month. Once 8 months is done. Well, first of all, I think I would have gotten kicked out, honestly, because this is designed to have young men actually learning. Uh-huh. And you cannot learn from those who are older, wiser, and more godly than you are if you are not trying to have a humble attitude. I am certainly not the poster child for humility. I struggle with pride on a daily basis. That being said, my father teaching me, sure, you must have humility. You don't learn by talking, you learn by listening. Mm. And so coming to Pastor Servin saying, I think I know this issue, but help me clarify this. Sure. Or I have no clue about this issue. Please teach me about this.
Mm. I love that. You learn by listening, not by talking. What's been the hardest part about mentoring Cody?
Well, mentoring Cody.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'd just say in general, the hardest part about the whole endeavor of taking on these young men has been that's been added to an already full schedule.
You're busy?
So, however, it's been well worth it, and it has stretched me. It's stretched me in getting all the reading done. I mean, all the different books that we read were books that I've read, but I wanted to read them all again as I taught through them, because you teach what you know. Mm-hmm. And so that required me staying up late at times, or getting up early, and making sure that the reading all got done. And then the whole issue of preparing my family to have these two young men, as well as others, around our house quite a bit. Mm. And so that's all happened. We did a lot of talking about that, praying about that, discussing the different aspects. Now, as far as where Cody and Joel have lived, there are two families in our church. Each have opened up their home. And so they've actually lived with families in our church, families where it was appropriate for them to live in a good setting. And they were like big brothers, as it were, to younger children in those settings. And that's been very effective. So the two men who have opened their homes are also officers in our church. So they've been able to get some mentoring and discipleship from those two men as well as me. Mm-hmm. So now Cody individually.
I'm not gonna let you get off the hook.
Oh, no, Cody. I'm actually sort of interested to hear this answer myself.
Cody is a talker, for everybody who knows it. And so he can get rolling. And there are times when I've had to say, okay, Cody, let's just ease back, and you need to listen for a while. Or I remember taking Cody and the other intern, Joel Stanton, to meet with Dr. Moorcraft. And they wanted to, of course, ask questions of Dr. Moorcraft. My response to them was, look, I'll let you ask 5 questions, but I want to see the questions ahead of time. Hmm. Because I wanted to make sure they weren't either silly questions or questions that would waste his time or something like that. And so both Cody and Joel came up with some great questions. So I would say with Cody, the area I've had to work on is just getting Cody to, okay, be patient, be calm, listen. Mm-hmm. Take this all in. So when I took them to our presbytery meeting a few weeks ago, I instructed both guys, even though you're going to be given the privilege of the floor and you can stand up and ask questions, don't do that. Mm. I want you just to listen. Mm. And you can say, thank you for allowing me the privilege of the floor, but But this is a time for listening, hearing examination, ordination examination. This is a time for talking to different people at breaks, but it's not time for you to stand up and really say or ask anything at this point. That'll come later.
Sure.
But for right now, this is the way it should be.
So this isn't just about training him to possibly be a pastor someday and a shepherd. It's you're dealing with not just theology, you're dealing with character issues.
Yeah, well, that's all part of being a pastor and a shepherd, isn't it?
Well, when you think I would think so, but I don't know that a lot of seminaries think so.
Well, when you look at 1 Timothy 3 or Titus 1, those lists that talk about qualifications for elders fundamentally deal with the issues of character. It's almost like they assume that you already have your doctrine pretty well set. So in the Titus 1 list, you'll see that the elder is to defend the doctrine and to be able to rightly handle the word. But otherwise, it's all character issues. And so we've been committed in this pastoral internship to deal with character issues, to deal with practical ministry, to deal with theology. We're trying to do everything. Mm-hmm. Now, as I said before, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel and start a seminary. I encourage Cody and Joel, if indeed they continue on in ministry with a desire to pursue ministry, that they get formal training. Thankfully, the day in which we live, you can do that in 100 different ways, and you don't have to go to the traditional brick-and-mortar seminary and go greatly into debt. You can get your training through other means. Probably the best is to work under your own pastor and to have him be your mentor.
Okay. As we wrap up here, I want to ask you, what's been the most stretching part of this process for you?
Well, I would say one of the things that's been stretching for me is that a vital aspect of pastoral ministry, and therefore a vital aspect of this mentorship, has been dealing with people. I thought coming out here that I understood how to deal with people. I have a father who is exceptional in dealing with people, and as you know, I've been on the road quite a lot with our bluegrass band, so I'd been at concerts and stuff, so I came out going, you know, I still have some things to learn, but I generally know how to work with people. And being out here, I've had to work with so many different types of people, not just my family, who I know very well. I've had to work with people who, you know, are very astute with theology, people who don't really know and sometimes don't even care. I've had to deal with people who are very quiet. I've had to deal with people who, you know, talk a lot, just all kinds of different people. So I'd say one of the stretching things has just been having me step out of my comfort zone to say, okay, if I am truly pursuing pastoral ministry, one of the vital aspects of that is shepherding. That's dealing with people. So that's been one of the areas. And then I would say one of the biggest things that I've taken away from this internship, I was telling a friend, I think the greatest thing I've learned on this internship is how much I still have yet to learn.
So in other words, you've grown in humility.
I would like to think so, but...
Has he grown in humility?
I believe so. I mean, we've talked about a lot of different doctrines, many of which Cody had a good working knowledge of. But when you start going deeper, that's where everybody's mettle gets tested. And when you're studying about God and you're trying to serve God, if you are not a humble man, you really shouldn't be there. Never follow an arrogant, prideful elder, pastor, or theologian. I mean, those are very dangerous things to think about. So you're always wanting to look for somebody who's humble, who's teachable, because when we study God, that's what happens inside of us. We become humble men.
Back to your experience in this area of humility, would you say that that was something that was fostered or hindered in your seminary experiences?
Well, I felt plenty humbled in seminary, going through formal education. A lot of the academics weren't my strong suit. Okay. When I was in my teens and early 20s, and I really had to discipline myself and ramp up and start working at a higher level. And so I think I learned humility in that setting, but probably more so in the actual dealing with people. It's easy to think that you when you graduate from a seminary, you have it all wired, you're all set to go. Not at all. Maybe you have a good amount of book learning, and that's important. You should know your doctrine. You should know how to defend what you believe. But on the other hand, how do you deal with Mrs. Smith, who is getting after
Where's
you about
the textbook for that one?
One thing, or how do you handle when there's a family in your church and they've lost a child? How do you minister to them? How do you help different people who are quarreling with one another and they can't seem to get it worked out? They can't seem to solve their problem. These are all the skills of the shepherd. Let's remember that the shepherd deals with sheep, and sometimes the sheep are dirty, smelly, difficult. They run off. They bite the hand of the shepherd that feeds them. They do a lot of things. And you have to have a sense of calling from God to persevere in that. Otherwise, you won't.
Okay. That's great. Cody, last question for you. What would be your encouragement to young men in light of the mentoring opportunity that you've had, not only with your father, but with Pastor Sermon?
Well, hearkening back to what we were saying earlier, and something I still need to grow in, is something that J.C. Ryle said, and this is a paraphrase, but he was saying that one of the biggest flaws in young men as far as character goes is pride. Kevin Swanson said 10 out of 10 young men, or 99.9998% of young men struggle with pride. And so you will learn, you will actually learn if you have, if you are working towards being humble. You will not learn if you are, have a proud heart. So if you are wanting to be mentored, you know, obviously there are the important things of finding a good mentor, of working on so many different character qualities. Pride is a wall that will block all of that. And you will not get to it if you have pride. And if you are working towards humility, you're not guaranteed learning from a mentorship, but at least you're a step closer. So that would be an encouragement to all young men, and like they always say, when you're pointing the finger, three fingers pointing back at yourself. Right. So that would be an encouragement to me as well.
Thank you. Pastor Servin, does the world need more mentors?
Absolutely. I mean, the world needs more pastors, elders, shepherds, and the way to make that come about is for the Lord to stir in a man's soul so that they're truly called, and then for them to receive training from mentors. That's the way it works.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Thanks for your input.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right, thanks.